You are listening to the Vital MX Post-Race Podcasts, presented by Decal Works.
Okay, Chase Sexton, Indianapolis. I feel like this was the break you needed. Screw the result, the riding was great. The end of that second main was unbelievable. So this is like the, I don't know, this is a push? This is the moment where it all clicks, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're quite there yet, but I think this is definitely a step in the right direction. And at least tonight I had fight in me. And was able to push forward through the pack. And my starts were horrible, pretty shitty. But I was able to make it work and get back to the top three every race. Last race, got a better start, got second. I felt like I had speed to ride, to run with Jet for sure in the third main. He got around Kenny. I didn't until the end. So, bike's getting better. Still not meshing with it quite yet. But, I keep trying.
Not meshing it with it yet, but this was better, right? Like, we can look at this as a positive, or is this back to the we're so deep in the hole that we can't see the light?
We're climbing. We need a long ladder to get out of this hole. So we're climbing.
Are we on to 2025 already? Or
no, but we need to figure something out. So we're climbing the ladder. It's gonna be a deep dig to get out of this thing, but let's keep trying.
Low-key, I feel like your starts are a bit of a problem.
A bit of a problem.
Like, I feel like I've not seen you up front, all year, maybe, or since San Fran.
Unless I do something stupid and guess the gate when it's going to drop.
Yeah, that was pretty stupid.
That's pretty much the only way I've gotten a hole shot this year. Let's just be honest.
Did you hole shot Daytona?
Oh, yeah, I did.
But Daytona's Daytona.
So. I had a paddle tire, so we can't even count that as a real start.
Do that every week.
I wish I could run the paddle, but I can't every week. Maybe we can.
I feel like we're searching, so let's just do it.
Let's just do it anyways. But we'll just throw everybody off.
Yeah, MXGP, they do it on like the most hard-packed tracks ever, so.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that, but. Even last weekend, they all ran the paddle. I think for the start, for sure, was better. I don't know, I've never ridden the track. It looks pretty hard-packed to run a paddle on it.
What, we're now just in Argentina discussion.
Yes.
Okay. No, they run a paddle on like the most hard-packed concrete track possible.
Yeah,
so Argentina is a paddle all day.
Yeah, I disagree with the paddle on hard pack. But we'll see.
Well, speak to Pitt. Are your starts a technique issue or a bike setup issue, or where does that kind of fall?
You can tell me. I have no idea. I mean, I think my start on the last main, if I do that last year, I'm hole shotting by 5 bike lengths. And I still didn't get the hole shot. So I don't know.
I don't know if this is like the break that I was hoping for. I thought maybe we'd come over and it'd be like high fives and this is a start.
Unless I'm winning, I'm not high fiving nobody. I mean, honestly, I went 3-3-2. It's pretty consistent for a triple crown. But
I feel like you
more consistent.
I feel like you can leave here and go, I was the best guy. And maybe you haven't been able to do that for a while, no?
I wouldn't say I was the best guy because I didn't win a single main event, but I was closer to being the best guy. That's what I got.
Aaron Plessinger, Indianapolis. The positive is that you were really, really fast at points. The negative is the end result doesn't quite show that. So where are we at?
I'm back to being happy with my riding, but the last couple of weeks have kind of sucked. Tonight I was back to riding good and feeling good, and then obviously I got two decent starts, and then at the end me and 21 got together, and I don't know what happened. I just saw him come right, and I hit him, I went down, and then he went on, but I don't know what place I got, but it was, the last one was not very good, so I was a little mad, but overall happy with my riding. Just got to be better in this first couple laps and be a better sprinter.
Were you pretty fired up after the crash, or was it just a racing incident?
Yeah, I was in the heat of the moment. I don't know if it was like, I don't know if he made a mistake and then went right. I'm hoping, but it was just sketchy. And you know, if I would have fell actually, because I hit the ground on my feet, like I it took the front wheel out from under me, and I just kind of hit ran out of it. And I don't know. I just those kind of moves and the whoops. Like I said, I don't know if it was he made a mistake, because it was very, very easy to make a mistake. but I'll give him the, you know, the benefit of the doubt and say he made a mistake and then went right. But yeah, I just, it was it was scary because in those situations you never know if you get caught up in the back wheel and it's kind of dangerous. But yeah, I was a little fired up and yeah, I mean, I got up and got back by Eli, but yeah, I don't know. But like I said, happy with my riding. I just need to work on a few things and limit the mistakes and come back, get back on that close to the podium grind.
Is it me or have your starts disappeared a little bit?
Yeah, it's weird.
Since Glendale? I feel like that was the last time you had a really good start.
Yeah, Glendale. And then, I don't know, Arlington was decent. But yeah, I need to get back on it, because there for a minute I was like up front. Yeah, up front and going. And I think that was a credit to my finishes. So I need to get back to it and just, I don't know, I need to start better, start the day better, you know. I'm always 12th or 13th in practice. And
yeah, what's up with that? Like, you,
I have no idea.
If you look at your stats, you are maybe the worst qualifier in the history of the sport.
Yeah, and it's always been like that, you know. I would, on 250s, I would qualify 12th or 10th and go out and win the thing. So I have no clue. Out there, it feels like I'm ripping. But when I come across the line, I'm like, 12th or, yeah, 13th.
You don't even
10th,
look at the board anymore because you're like, no way.
It just pisses me off. I'm like, what am I doing wrong? But I need to be better there. Don't know what I need to do to get better there, but I need to be better there. And then, yeah, I need to be better at the starts and just clicking off good laps. I made a lot of mistakes tonight, and yeah, I just need to be better.
Kyle Chisholm, Indianapolis, tied for your best result of the season, I think, overall?
Yeah, Daytona was 13, this one was 13. Yeah, I went like 14, 13, 14 tonight. So, yeah, I think 13 at Daytona and then 13 tonight. So, obviously, we're missing a couple guys. A couple guys got hurt, whatever. But, yeah, you can only race who lines up. And for me, I always just try to base it on, did I ride good? Did I ride my best? You know, regardless of, obviously, I want to do good, like, position-wise, but aside from an actual number, just, you know, if it was my best. And definitely was a better. Daytona was a good one. Tonight was a pretty good one. Not my best, maybe, but the right direction. You know, felt pretty good. The bike was good. I enjoyed the track. It was gnarly. But, yeah, overall, I'm happy with it. Closer to the top 10, so it's good.
I feel like on paper, Triple Crowns maybe shouldn't suit you.
Yeah.
But then tonight was solid.
Yep.
So how do you view the format for yourself?
I agree. On one hand, I've tried, like, it's relatively new, you know, the Triple Crown stuff. And even when they started doing them, you know, back however many years ago, it doesn't suit me in the shorter race side of it, because you got to just sprint more. It's more speed. You know, guys don't get as tired as quick. But it I also looked at it like it also does suit me from the consistency side, right? Can I be consistent for three motos? You know, one guy might kill it one moto, but then crash out another moto or something like that. So, yeah, for me, like tonight with the track, especially the track conditions here, I try to just get out to as good a position as I could and then just find a good rhythm and find good lines that I could just hit consistently and just limit those mistakes and just be consistent. Yeah, like I said, I was 14, 13, 14, and, yeah, I just try to ride at my limit and not go over it, because it was very easy for stuff to go sideways tonight if you kind of pushed it too much.
Cade mentioned you passed him on a blue flag. I'm guessing you just see that as an opportunity. It's not necessarily against the rules. That's just veteran savvy.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't see it. I did another interview, and somebody he had said that.
He's told everyone
yeah,
that.
Yeah, whatever, Cade. Whatever, Cade. I honestly don't remember ever seeing it. It's hard, though. You know, we're in a battle for 13th, 14th, and then at the end of the race, we're getting lapped by a few guys. So it's tough. So, yeah, I probably passed him. I'm not denying it. I don't really know. I'll take his word for it. But I think it was a couple laps later, I was trying to see who's coming up behind, you know, lapping us, and I saw Cooper coming. And I think it was, like, after the sand, I look back, I see Cooper. I'm like, okay, he's getting closer. So you try to time it, like, at least I do. Like, okay, he's that far behind me. You know, two turns later, he should be on me, so yeah. I know kind of when to get out of the way. Because it's hard. We're racing. I don't want to stop too early and let the guys behind me catch up. I also don't want to get in his way, obviously, most importantly. So, yeah, a couple turns later, I kind of, the tabletop section across the back of the track, I rolled through there because I thought, okay, Coop should be right here. I roll through there, get to the next turn. I'm trying to go really tight out of his way, and I look over, and it's Cade. And I'm like, it's not Cooper. So then we're side by side. If you watch the video, when Cooper obviously crashed in the back of Cade, me and Cade are side by side. So, yeah, I got to that turn thinking it was Cooper, and I just slowed down too early. I look over, and it's Cade. I'm like, shoot, I got to go. So we're side by side through there, and obviously he made the mistake, and, yeah, and Cooper ran in the back of him. So unfortunate, obviously. I know Cade obviously didn't mean it. Bummer for Cooper, just racing. It's hard on these tracks in these conditions for us to get out of those guys' way. You know, it's you're in a rut the whole time. You know, you jump a jump, you're in a rut, and you land, and you're back in a rut. So you can't just move over. You know, you can't just get out of their way. You got to really plan it. And yeah, anything can happen in these conditions. So obviously an unfortunate thing. But Cade, I'll pass your blue flag or not, baby. We'll go.
Last one. Kenny mentioned on the podium that he considered making a bike change that he felt would be better, but chose to just stick with what he had.
Yeah.
Are you consulted in that? And how involved are you with those mid-event decisions?
Yep. I didn't tonight, obviously. It's so hard with the Triple Crown. We have not a lot of time in between. I'll talk to him a little bit in between, and obviously he knows I'm here if he needs my advice or anything like that. But he knows what he's doing, and Matt, our suspension guy, knows really well. For Kenny this year, honestly, it's been really easy. He hasn't really changed anything from last year. He's super happy. It's made my job easy, obviously, trying to any help that I can help him with.
Yeah, you're more of a racer this year.
Yeah, and that's nice, but I do love, you know, trying to help him. I'll try to help him more, like, just racing stuff and pep talk a little bit when I can, you know, here and there, and try to keep his head right as much. He knows what he's doing, but try to help him as much as I can in any way that I can. But, yeah, for him, he's been happy, which is a good. I know as a racer, it's a good thing when you don't want to change anything on your bike, aside from a few clicks here and there. That's a good thing. You know, he can just focus on racing and not worry about changing stuff on his bike. So, the stuff that he changed today, we talked yesterday after press a little bit about some bike change stuff. But man, it's just for the most part clickers and stuff, which is super easy. You know, nothing crazy. Like I said, it makes it nice for him because he can just focus on doing his job.
Yeah, Cade Clayson, Indianapolis. First of all, the positive. I can't believe this is your first main event since San Diego. Like, that is bad. So nice to be back where you belong.
Yeah, just a string of bad luck the last couple weeks and 2 weeks before that, just kind of piss poor decisions in the LCQs. And so, yeah, it's just magically strung together, missing 6 main events in a row. So that just ain't it for me. It's not really acceptable. And the boys know it, and I know it, and I've been kind of down on myself, but just kept the head down, and I rode pretty good in practice today, put in a couple heaters, and it was nice, because I think I had like 3 laps that would have put me in the top 18, so it's not like I just had one. We just got to keep grinding and trying to get better. You know, Seattle next weekend, it's basically going to be the same thing as this. You know, real soft, real ruddy, lots of braking bumps, tough to ride, so we got a good warm-up.
Tell me about the incident with Coop. What happened from your perspective? Was anything said afterwards? Run me through it.
No, I mean, I wouldn't have been upset if he came and said something to me, but I feel like he may understand that there's absolutely nothing I could have done. Like, okay, so what happened was Chiz and I were battling for 14th, which is a big deal for me. And Chiz passed me right after first and second passed me. And under like a heavy blue flag when we knew the leaders were coming. So I got kind of irritated and I was trying to pass him back and not really paying attention to who was behind me. And I got up alongside of him in the rhythm section to pass him back. We stepped off the tabletop and I just kind of cross-rutted when I landed and I cased the double in the rhythm. And when I cased it, I tried to look back because obviously I knew people were behind me.
Yeah.
So I looked back. And right as I like turn my head, Coop's already like on me. Like he was gonna land on me either way. So I appreciate the fact that he didn't aim straight for my back, but you know it sucks, man. I feel terrible. I hate affecting races like that, and that stuff. It does happen. It sucks that I have to be a part of it, or Coop has to be a part. I literally already had to shut my phone off because the DMs have just been unbelievable. But there's nothing I could have done, right? I feel bad, but that stuff happens, and you know, I'm sorry it happened to him.
Is it easy for you to just forget about that and move on with your night, or does it kind of like Are you extra cautious around the blue flags after that moment?
Yeah, I already got yelled at. My arm is like twice the size right now that it should be, just from like his bar coming down on my arm. And so the last bit of that main was terrible. And then the next main, the first few laps were okay, and then I started kind of riding tight. And then once the blue flags came out, it was like I was having deja vu the whole time, and I started going like 6 seconds a lap slower. And that just can't. I think I let three people by once I got a blue flag. Like I was riding around 15th again, and I went all the way to 17th or 18th. So, yeah, it's tough, right? Because I don't want to affect the race, and I have to get that out of my head all the time. It's been a problem basically my whole career, and I've done a good job of kind of growing out of it. But, you know, once something like that happens, it obviously creeps back in.
Hey, Freddie Norrin, Indianapolis, a chaotic night for you. So run me through it.
Yeah, very chaotic for sure. I was not stoked on today at all. We did make some improvements on Moto 3, so, like, you know, I got to take the little nuggets that were good. But, yeah, overall, I didn't make it into the time qualifying. I was 21st in time qualifying. Had to go through the LCQ. It was for sure the most nerve-wracking LCQ all year for me. Got in fourth spot. So that was good. Moto 1 fell twice. In a 12-minute moto, falling twice, you know, I get up and I'm being lapped right away. So it's kind of like that moto was gone. Moto 2 fell again. So then I just didn't get comfortable. And, kind of a wash moto as well. Then we made some major big changes chassis and suspension-wise going into Moto 3 because, you know, like I don't really have anything to lose at this point. I'm back there, and it was a lot better. I rode a lot better the last one. I was 18th, which is not necessarily like, yay, that's great. But at least we made some improvements to finish off the day. So that's a good thing. But definitely looking to, you know, put this weekend behind me. Derek, my crew chief, Rankin, he said, you know, goldfish, they don't have a good memory, so just be a goldfish. Just forget about it. So I'm going to be a goldfish and just forget about this weekend pretty much. But, yeah, no, I'm excited to keep going, and I'm still dealing with a bad ankle, so makes the riding a little bit timid. And on a track like this, you know, with all these ruts, you can't really ride timid. You got to be smooth, but you can't, you know, you got to hit your line. So excited to start feeling a bit better and then just try to be better at Seattle.
Yeah, the first two main events were messy. So how easy was it for you to just clear your mind going into the last race? Like, were you thinking to yourself, just don't crash, just stay upright?
Yeah, you know, like, I try not to, like, think, like, don't crash because then I'll probably crash. But, yeah, I mean, at that point, like, I guess, like, I didn't have anything to lose necessarily. I don't want to go and be crazy or anything like that. But, like, doing a big change on the bike or, you know, trying to make an adjustment riding-wise or technique-wise, like, it was kind of like, all right, well, let's just try something because, you know, it can really only go up from here. So, yeah, I mean, the mental mindset definitely was probably, like, a little bit better going into the third one. I mean, I was, you know, mentally excited for Moto 1 and then, you know, that didn't go well as Moto 2, you know. No, it was better.
Did the track get as gnarly as you expected, or did you think it was going to get a lot worse?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say the track, I don't know how it shaped up compared to, let's say, other years. It definitely got super gnarly, and, you know, I certainly didn't expect to struggle as much as I did, so I would say, you know, the track was hard to ride for sure. Yeah, it was just gnarly. I mean, it's Indy. It always gets very, very rutty here. It was worse than other years, I'm not sure. It was probably a little bit more gnarly than I thought.
Okay, Cameron McAdoo, Indianapolis. Tonight was a big one for you. A win was coming, obviously. Your results have been great recently. But just to check that box, I feel like it was a big one for you mentally.
Yeah, tonight was great, and I wasn't guaranteed that a win was coming. You know, I was hopeful. That was my goal. I was second multiple weekends in a row, but tonight with the Triple Crown and both Triple Crowns that I've won, I've gone into the last main tied up for the win. So that's feels like a little extra pressure, but at the same time, it's kind of like the last main is like a main event. You know, it's whoever wins. But yeah, tonight was a big one. Excuse me. I haven't won a race since Dallas 2022, and I've had a lot of ups and downs since then, racing, injuries, just with everything. So I was like, I always keep thinking like, oh, maybe the next one won't be quite as special, and it feels so good, every one of them. Like, you go over the finish line, and it was awesome tonight.
I guess it's one of those things where, like, yeah, sure, you always believe in yourself,
yeah,
but you actually have to see it happen to really, like, convince yourself, like, okay, I'm back, and this is going in the right direction.
Yeah, totally, and I think that, you know, I believe that I could win. I believed that I could win races coming into this season, but I'm not guaranteed it, you know, and that's something I've realized and found out over the last few years, is we're really not guaranteed anything in life, aside from just racing in life. But so that's why I think that I've been a little more myself this year and talk to you guys like I talk to my family, and it's I hope to be able to keep having the chance to win races on a dirt bike. Sorry, I'm all messed up. But yeah, like, that's my goal. That's what I work super hard for. But I really appreciate it, and I'm really working at not taking it for granted.
How do you lock in for that last main event? Does it just feel like a normal main event, like you said, or does it feel like there's a little more on the line?
I love that. I really love that. I called Nick, my trainer, after the second one, and first thing he said was, like, let's go. Like, this is what we do it for, you know, and I was talking to my mechanic, and I love those high pressure, just like kind of pressure cooker situations. It's kind of one of the main reasons why I do what I do and why I love it. Those butterflies and like, let's go, you know what I mean? And the excitement that it gives the fans and just what we can give the sport. Those are fun times to, when it works out, obviously they're even more fun. But yeah, I love that kind of that pressure cooker feeling of, you know, being in it.
And last one, is this break going to be good for you health-wise, or would you rather keep the ball rolling and get this momentum to good use?
I think I'm going to take some benefit from it, for sure. Obviously, I've been dealing with a pretty bummed-up knee. In Detroit, when I had that crash in the first turn, I broke my tibia. Yeah, that's really what happened. So I have a fracture in my tibia, and I've been dealing with that, but it's continually gotten better. I might take a few. I'm sorry, guys. I'm all flimmy. Take a few days off the bike this week, and we're gonna keep training. But yeah, obviously, momentum is an awesome thing. But at the same time, we're gonna take how we feel right now and just kind of bundle it up and hopefully bring it to Foxborough.
Yep. Cody Shock, Indianapolis. First of all, in your wildest dreams, did you envision today going as well as this?
No. To be completely honest, my plan was literally just to qualify inside the top 18, not have to deal with LCQ, and then go out there into mains and just be consistent and fight for like a 10 to 15 spot. Like, I didn't expect to come out here and go 5-8-8 and qualify P10 and get fifth overall in the night. Like, it's a pretty spectacular night that we had, and yeah, I just stuck with the pace I felt comfortable, and yeah, we ended up in a good spot.
For lack of a better word, were you like paranoid today? Don't fall on the collarbone, don't hit the collarbone, like, was it playing on your mind?
No. I mean, obviously I thought about that the week leading up, but when you show up, it's like, okay, I showed up, I'm going to fully commit, and negative thoughts become negative actions. And I just kept all the positivity and just kept doing one turn at a time, one lap at a time, and came out to be a pretty solid night.
Was it always the plan to race here? Like, when did you make the final decision?
Honestly, before surgery. I knew I was going to be fine, because with Dr. Navarro, and I know that Dr. Greenbaum actually did the surgery. He's a spectacular surgeon out in California, and I've had great success with him previous years, and I knew I was gonna execute this. So as each day went on during the week, I started feeling better and better, and I got that excitement, like, okay, we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. I'm not going to have to nurse it. And yeah, that's about it.
How bad was the pain?
Right now, as we speak, it's probably, if I move it, it's definitely sore. It's probably like, honestly, like maybe a 4 or 5. Nothing crazy. That's something that's definitely tolerable. But when I showed up here, it was probably like a 2. So I honestly, like 5 days out of surgery, I really do feel like I'm 2.5 weeks post-operation. So I feel like we're making really good progress. And now that we have a 3-week break, I can finally go home for the first time in 2 weeks and just chill. So we're going to get recovered and try to come out swinging in Foxborough.
Considering how well tonight went, is it like almost unbelievable to you that even in as bad a condition as this, you can do as well as this? Like,
honestly, yes and no. Yes, as in like I got 5th overall. For me, that's awesome. But no, because I know what I'm capable of, and I truly do believe that there's more in me, and like we're seeing hints here and there, but once it all comes together, like I know I can get on the podium. So I'm stubborn in a way, I'm headstrong, but I'm confident in myself and I'm confident in the team. And they told me not to race, and they also told me that, hey, don't feel any pressure to race. So yeah, with those guys, anything's possible.